Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, I'll begin reading in verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight, and I thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is our teacher and who enables us to practice what he teaches us. God, we understand that it is you who live this Christian life in us, and our need is ever to learn more of you, to trust you more, to say yes to you, no to the flesh. God, to yield to your Spirit and let you have your way. And I pray that you would continue to help us do that. We thank you for your great love and patience with us, dear God. We thank you for your great mercies to us in Christ Jesus. And Father, I do ask for the filling of your blessed Spirit tonight. I need that to minister to the church tonight, and I have nothing of myself that could be of help, dear God. And so I look to you, and I trust you to help to help me minister the word and that which you have laid on my heart tonight for the church, from the word of God. I pray for Lisa in the deaf ladies class, and bless my dear wife there. Father, fill her with your Spirit and use her also. We thank you, dear God, that you love us so much, and that our prayers are before you, and you knew them before we voiced them, dear God. And you, I'm sure, are working and have been working and will yet work for your glory in these things. And so, Father, help us to just continue to trust you, to look for you, to you expectantly for answers. And dear God, to yield ourselves to you, that we, dear God, might be among those who have answered prayer, because we're learning to pray according to your will. And I pray that would be the case for each of us. Dear God, be with those who couldn't be here tonight. Raise up the sick among us, dear God, and help them, I pray. And for those that aren't here, might they know we miss them. We're praying for them. And Father, might they have just a blessed time with you. And we look to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name, for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Well, we've looked at Romans chapter 12, and 1 and 2 being very popular verses. And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And we talked about that, so I had a message on it. How that God is calling us to a separated sacrifice, that we are to be holy, set apart for the use of a holy God. And a serving sacrifice, it's our reasonable service. A sensible sacrifice, it's our reasonable service. A sincere sacrifice. We are the ones that are to present ourselves. And we're going to have some lessons coming up soon on free will. I really believe that God gives us free will. And we have you think about a Christian when they get saved. What's the difference between a Christian that is walking with God and a Christian that's not? Free will. Free will, that's the difference. And God still lets us choose whether we want to yield to him or whether we don't. And we need to learn to yield to him. I believe actually God makes it hard for us not to in many cases. It's pride sometimes. It's we don't want to give up, you know, some earthly pleasure or something, and just those things. Sometimes we can be stubborn, and that's one thing that our heart is good at, is being stubborn and fooling our own selves. And yet God is so patient and so loving, and I'm thankful for that. But we are to present a body that's a living sacrifice. And one of those points that we learned was it's a serving sacrifice. And we see that as we looked at the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, we saw that Paul is speaking of them in context of the local church, in context of us serving one another. And not just in church, but when we meet outside of church and as people have needs and such, and those things, and we minister to one another. We think about these gifts that are given here. We went down through some of them. I won't go down through them all again. I don't necessarily think this is an exhaustive list, but God gives us gifts. And just a note about discerning what our gifts may be. We look at this passage, and sometimes we may hurry quickly through Romans 12, 1 and 2, and then we'll spend a lot of time wondering about Romans 3 through 7, and then 3 through 8, then just kind of rush right through 9 through 21 there. I really think the key to discovering our spiritual gifts lies in Romans 1 and 2, and in Romans 9 through 21. Because when we yield there and we do those things, it is in that pursuit that we're going to discover our gifts. And we'll see some more of that as we look into these passages here. I had thought about going through this whole section here kind of in machine gun fashion like the Apostle Paul does, but I only got through two verses in studying. The word study was just so, it's like, wow, there's just too much here to even bother to try to get through all that. So we might not even get through these two verses tonight. We'll see, or these two or three verses that I mentioned, but I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts and it'll be helpful to the church. So Romans 12, 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul would begin with love. It's really one of the main things of the Christian life, is it not? It's the first fruit of the Spirit that's mentioned in the list of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. It's temperance. It's that first thing. And Galatians tells us what? That in Christ Jesus, what is it that works? It's faith, which worketh by what? By love. And the Apostle Paul said about love, the love of Christ constraineth us. That's what compels us. That's what keeps us going. That's why they would become martyrs. Was because of their love, of the love of Christ through them. So he begins with love here. Let love be without dissimulation. What is dissimulation? It's unfeigned. It's not fake. It's not a showy love. It's a real. It's without dissimulation, undisguised, sincere, without hypocrisy. You know, sometimes we think of hypocrisy as, you know, it's so wicked because, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees were described as, you know, being hypocritical. But we all really are sometimes, aren't we? We all have that. We all want to look a little better than we really are, you know. And but just the idea of loving people from the heart. Loving people, listening to the Spirit, and how is it that God would want us to love one another, to love the lost, to love brothers and sisters in Christ in the church? Let love be without dissimulation. Love is to be the telling witness of the new birth. In John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. What if you have love, one to another? If you have love one to another, it's first in that list of fruit of the Spirit. I said that. The Holy Ghost, it sheds this love in our hearts. Romans 5:5, earlier in the book of Romans, we have this hope in Christ. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And I think that's both our love, the love towards God, and love for God, and also love for others. God's love for others is worked through us by the Holy Spirit. And Paul wants us to make sure that that is foremost in our Christian life. Peter concedes to that as well in 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, he's talking about salvation here, through the Spirit, unto what? Unfeigned love of the brethren. There it is. The same meaning as without dissimulation. Unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And God wants us to do that. And because that's the way he loves us. Amen. And he wants our love to show through him. He said what? Continue ye in my love. That same kind of love I have loved you with, I want you to continue to love one another with. And we can do that by the Spirit of God. Paul said that they were shown to be apostles in 2 Corinthians 6:6 by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. There it is again, genuine love. And that's what God wants us to show towards one another. Us to show towards one another. As Christians, we have a newborn love for God. We have a newborn love for other Christians. I remember that. I remember when I got saved, and how that when I heard that somebody else, I immediately had that kindred spirit with other people that were Christians. It didn't matter, you know, what walk of life they were from. It didn't matter, you know, what race, what background, what socioeconomics. It didn't matter. If someone was saved, I had a kindred drawing to. You know why? Because we have the same Savior, and we got saved the same way, didn't we? And by the way, we got saved from the same hell, didn't we? And we had that. We got saved by the same blood, didn't we? And we got loved by the same love. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that kindred spirit that God puts in our hearts at salvation through His Spirit. And the Word of God, of course, is what the Spirit uses to renew our minds in Romans chapter 2 there. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God for that. It's His tool. Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation, what? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so we look into this Word of God time and time again. And what do we find according to 2 Corinthians 3:17-18? It says, now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. By the way, that's freedom from sin. Amen. That's freedom to serve God. And there's liberty. But we all with open face, 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding as in a glass, here's our glass right here, the glory of the Lord. We with open face behold the glory of the Lord. We are changed in the same image from glory unto glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We keep finding out, want to learn more about Jesus. Want to learn more about His love for us. Want to learn more about what He has for us. And as we are in this book, what do we find happening? We may not be aware of it as much as others are, but we find ourselves being transformed to the image of Christ from glory to glory, a step at a time. Sins fall away. More of the likeness of Christ comes into your life and my life. And others see that as we stay in the book, as we stay on our knees, as we stay in the fellowship, we are transformed to the image of Christ. The Bible is our looking glass. It shows us the wonders of Christ. And as we yield to Him, He does His work in our hearts, and we become more and more like Him. Abhor that which is evil. This love, He says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. See, what does true love do? It's interesting that these are kind of in a logical order here as well. He puts the love first. What does true love do? True love looks to serve, doesn't it? If we love somebody, God loved us. God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten son. Love is demonstrated through our actions and through our words, isn't it? And so as we love one another, we are reaching out to be a blessing to one another. And so we want to know, love wants to do good. Love wants to be helpful and edifying. Love doesn't want to harm. Love doesn't want to hurt. And so we learn, so those who are being compelled by love are compelled by that same love to learn of good and evil. And as we read the Word of God, they're transformed the image of Christ. The Word of God is that mirror that reveals these things. This true love wants to know what is good and what is evil. It wants to abhor that which is evil and cleave that which is good. In Romans 13:8, probably taking away from the future lesson, but Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. How do you love somebody? How do you love those around you? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment that is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. See, if we're going to love some people, we want to know. Love doesn't work ill to the neighbor. So we need to know what ill is, don't we? Well, we know what ill is. Ill is sin, isn't it? Ill is those things that God calls evil. All those things are hurtful and harmful. And so love wants to turn away from those things and wants to seek those things that are good. The Word of God and the Spirit of God work together to reveal to us truth concerning good and evil. God's Word tells us right from wrong. God's Word reveals to us good and evil. You see, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, doesn't it? What does a sword do? A sword divides, doesn't it? And when we read the Word of God, he shines that light into our hearts and our minds, and he separates good from evil. He shows us what's good and what's evil, and we learn that. And we learn what's right and what's wrong. The problem with much of the youth today is they're being told there is no right or wrong. There are no absolutes. I want to tell you, and thankfully there are, amen. And we have a holy God who's told us what's right. A holy God who's told us what's wrong, what's good, what's evil. And we can seek those things out. Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. That light shines in. That dividing sword separates what? Light from darkness, good from evil, and the just from the unjust, heaven and hell, and all those things become clear and in focus as what? As we are in the Word of God. We learn to walk in those paths that are the light, in the light of God's Word. And as the Holy Spirit used the Word of God to point out the things that are right and the direction that we ought to go in. And then we are commanded to what? Abhor that which is evil. Abhor. To dislike. Abhor. To have a horror of. That's how we're supposed to look at evil. It ought to horrify us. You know, the only thing really that can harm us as Christians is our own sin. The devil can't even harm us. He can't make us do a single thing. The only thing that really can harm us as Christians is when we yield to our old nature. When we yield to the swaying of the world and those things that are around, when we sin. And then we can have some forms of suffering for that. And even that, God oversees in love, doesn't he, when we're his children? The Spirit, we ought to abhor those things. It breaks our fellowship with the one who has made this transformation in our hearts, the one who has promised us everything, the one who gave it all. It breaks our fellowship with him. And we don't want that. You know, I don't want to go a day where I think, Jesus, I haven't been with Jesus today. You know, I don't feel like he's with me now. And I don't want to go through that. And I want to know that I can call that my heart is ready to call upon his name. And sometimes it isn't. We all go through that, and we hopefully take care of that quickly. Amen. And but it certainly is. You know, is what we want to do right with Him, and listen to the Holy Spirit. And one of those cards that Laura was passing out talked about saying, yielding to every wooing of the Spirit. Just listening to what the Spirit is doing in our hearts and lives. We ought to be doing that. The sword of the Spirit dividing and separating. And we are commanded to what? To abhor evil. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, what? And depart from evil. If we abhor evil, we're going to depart from it. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy, by the way, that's the Old Testament word for love, really. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You see, that's what love is going to drive us to do, to depart from evil, to abhor evil. Proverbs 16:17, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. I'm going to be preaching a message Sunday morning, Highway to Happiness. We keep our own, in a sense, we're keeping our own soul by yielding to God. We're really staying under that protective wing of the Almighty as we yield to Him, and as we depart from evil, we are to abhor that which is evil. And then we are, with equal zeal, we are to what? To cleave to that which is good. To cleave to that which is good. What does cleave mean? It means to glue together, cement, fasten together, to join or fasten firmly together, to join oneself to, cleave to. You see, do we get the idea that we need to hang on tightly to what's good? And that we really need to make an effort to be continuing in the things that are good, and hanging on to those, continuing in good works and those things, and abhorring evil and cleaving to that which is good. And why is that? Well, Hebrews 2:1 says this: therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time, what? We should let them slip. We have a tendency in our old nature to let those things slip. We need to be in the Word of God and applying it to our lives, hanging tightly to those things that the Holy Spirit teaches us. It seems that we need a spiritual super glue in our lives to hold on to these things. Bible reading, prayer, church attendance, serving the Lord, giving to the Lord, helping our brothers, being a witness. We need a purposeful glue applied there to cement us to those things. Why? Because there are forces at work all the time working to tear us away from that. Working sometimes to rip us away from that. Sometimes to get us subtly drifting away from that. And the devil works in different ways, but that opposite force is always there. We see that in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 here. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transforming is to go against the grain. There's a flow. This world is going downstream, and you and I as believers, we're swimming upstream, and we're only doing that by the power of the Spirit. Amen. The minute we stop swimming, guess what? We're going down the current with the rest of them, and that's why we got to hold tightly, to those things. Learning, Paul said, in one portion, nevertheless, let us abide to where we already have attained. Why? Because we need to get ground to grow and to stay there. Hang on to that. Don't let it slip. In Colossians chapter 1, the scripture says that we are to continue in the faith, what? Grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which is preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Don't be moved away from that blessed hope and tied to say, man, the Lord's coming. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't let go of that. That could be any day. And we live for that. One preacher said, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. Amen. And I don't know that I want to die. And I'm looking for Jesus to come back. But I do want to be faithful if he chooses to, you know, that I would die. I would want to be faithful when that happens as well. The psalmist writes in Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, what? I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. To be steadfast in these things, to hold tight, to these things. We need to be cemented because the world is working to move us away from Christ. Time and time again. You ever, you know, cross? We have several bridges around here, and a lot of times in the winter the river gets up pretty high with all the rain and such. And I tell you that current's moving pretty good, you know, in a lot of places. You ever go over the bridge and look down to those pillars and just see? Oh my goodness! I mean, that water it's hitting and it's just churning and churning and churning. You know, when that happens, aren't you glad that when they made those bridges, they had to have an engineer to decide how those bridges and those pillars needed to be made? Aren't you glad that there had to be a lot of thought put in how much weight that bridge was going to hold with the traffic going over it, as well as what is going to have to endure against that current during the flood seasons? Aren't you glad that when they built that, there were plans made by someone who knew what they were doing and executed by people who knew what they were doing? Aren't you glad about that? Listen, we have the floods of life, don't we? We have the burdens of life. Aren't you glad we have plans made by someone who knew what he was doing? Amen. By the way, and someone who executes it by his Holy Spirit in us, if we'll yield to him. Because the storms will come, and the world is that high water trying ever eroding away at the foundation, ever pounding it and hitting it and trying to get it to move in some way, in some place. The world, the flesh, and the devil is always working to move you and I out of the way. And yet, when we look to God, we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. Amen. He overcame for us. You know, I thought about that. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. And so people may think, well, great, that doesn't help me, you know. No, he overcame the world for us. So that he threw it. What he's saying is, I overcame the world, and when I am in you, since I overcame the world, you can overcome the world too. And by the way, we're overcomers already as far as salvation, aren't we? We're not going to hell. We're born again. And we can overcome on a daily basis as we yield to our overcomer, amen, within us. And God wants us to do that and to learn to do that more faithfully, more zealously. We can as we follow our Lord. Romans 12:10, be kindly affections one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. This mutual love, this love that we have, leads us to seek out truth, to abhor evil, to cleave to that which is good. And now he's talking more about this love that we have to one another, kindly affectioned. It's a mutual love of parents and children and wives and husbands. Loving affection, prone to love. Loving tenderly, chiefly of reciprocal tenderness of parents and children. But then he also says, with brotherly love. Love of brothers or sisters, brotherly love. In the New Testament, the love which Christians cherish for each other as brethren. I think he covered about every kind of love there. We are to have that love. Why? Because there are all kinds of relationships in the church. And we are to have God's love. We are a family here. And we are to have that love one to another. to have that family love. And what's interesting, it says, in honor, preferring one another. Preferring one another. This was an interesting study. That word, that phrase preferring has the idea of to go before and show the way. To go before and lead. To go before as a leader is what I talk about when it's preferring. What is it challenging us to there? It's challenging us to look out for one another. You see, when we love one another, what do we want to do? We want to walk a path that others can follow. You see? If we prefer one another, if we're loving our brethren, then I want to be an example for you, and you want to be an example for me. We have brethren that come in. We want our lives to be example for our brother or our sister who may be following us. Amen. Why? Because we're looking beyond ourselves. We're looking out now to help the brethren and to love the brethren. See people saved and see what the saved grow. And we want them to have mature believers to follow. And we need to be one. Amen. We need to be setting a path. So the song, you know, that sings, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. And the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. That's what God is challenging us here in this passage here. If we love them, okay, then be that zealous Christian. Light the way for others to follow us. And God challenges us to that. And we see that through the scripture, throughout the scriptures. Hebrews 12, 13 and following, the writer of Hebrews writes, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. What's he saying there? Be strong in your church. Be strong what? For the weak ones. There's some weak ones that need to see a strong Christian. Amen. If we're back and forth in our lives, then the weak Christian doesn't know which way to go. And what God is saying there in Hebrews 12, 13 is be strong, make that straight path, make that straight line for Christ and Christ likeness. And you know what? Then the waverers will have a path to follow. The lame, those that aren't doing so good will have some hope and someone they can follow. Follow peace with all men, Hebrews 12, 14, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12, 15, look diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. Look out for the brethren. Are we all finding the grace that we need? You know, the Bible says that we are to come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Is there a brother or sister falling by the wayside? Failing in the grace of God, in other words, failing to go to that throne to get the grace that they need for some reason, whatever it might be. Looking out for one another and looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble ye, and thereby many be defiled. We forgiving one another and loving one another. What a challenge. What a challenge that was to me about that idea of preferring one another. Making a path with your life. I think about, you know, about my dad. We were little kids, and we'd have to walk out to a quarter mile or so out to the bus stop, and the snow, you know, sometimes, you know, it would get three, you know, 3-4 feet in our driveway. We'd have to make paths out there, and sometimes he would get out there and he would make a path. He would walk. And I remember it was always hard to follow his steps because his feet were like this, you know. We had to kind of twist our feet to walk in his steps. But he was making a path for us that we couldn't handle ourselves. He was making a path for us to follow him out there. And God wants us to be looking out for another and making a path for those maybe that are having a harder time. Maybe having some struggles. Why? Because we love them so much. Because we value the brethren. And that's why he says, in honor, preferring one another. What's honor? A valuing by which the price is fixed. Honor which belongs or is shown to one. of honor which one has by reason of rank and state of office which he holds. Listen, we are brethren in Christ. We are a family. We have a closer tie than our own flesh and blood if they're not saved. Amen. In Jesus Christ. And we are to honor a value one another because of that. And because of that, we want to make these paths, these straight paths with our lives. 1 John 3:16. Boy, what a combination. I thought about that. John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16. Here's 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive ye the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How important are we one another? We ought to be willing to give our lives for one another. We ought to be concerned, every man looking not on his own thing, but what also on the things of others. Not just, am I doing okay? Are my brethren doing okay? Is there something I can do to be a blessing? Something I can do to help a brother or sister in Christ? So you see how this love will compel us to that service, compel us to want to make that path. And then all that searching, and all that yielding, in this love, we show our love to Christ as we live to please him. Surrendering our will to his will, that's Romans 12, 1 and 2. We show our love for the brethren as we minister to them and endeavor to live a life that is worthy of following. And that's what God calls us to. Scripture says, and I forgot to look up the address, but it says that by love, we what? Serve one another. By love, we serve one another. You see, if we love one another, we're going to want to serve one another. We're going to want to be a help to one another. And I've seen that happen many times in this church, and I have no reason to think that that's going to stop. I'm thankful for that. And God will have more for us to do in the future, amen? There'll be a brother or a sister that needs to be lifted up. They'll need to be helped in some way, encouraged. And we need to continue to pray for one another in that. And I'm thankful for the bond that God gives us in his Spirit, the wisdom he gives us in his Word, that light that we can walk those paths. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Word tonight. I thank you for your Spirit, dear God. Oh, Lord, what a path you made for us. You blazed it plain and clear. And God, we can look to that path and we can follow you and know that all is well in that path. Come what may, you will give the strength to face whatever we would face in that path. And dear God, and there are blessings innumerable, dear God, in following you, in learning to love you. And Father, I pray that we would do that. And in so doing, dear God, as we focus upon that, we'll be making a path for another to follow. And dear God, that's what we need to do. That's what you encourage us to do. And I pray you'd help us that by your power and by your grace and for the glory of your dear Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.